Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Unconventional Gal, Forging Your Own Path, with me, your host, Cherry Dollface. So this week we have two new topics, as we do every week. My first topic is, what actually is considered unconventional? And is there even a quote-unquote normal? So when I brought up the sort of subject of my podcast, I got a few people when I was bringing up, you know, unconventional topics that were like, well, what is unconventional? And I was like, you know what? You're right. What is unconventional? So I thought I would take it to the streets so we can define this together, because I feel like it's one of those things where you kind of like know what it is in your heart, but it's hard to sort of find a real definition for it. So the actual dictionary definition of unconventional is not based on or conforming to what is generally done or believed. So basically it's straying away from the norm. So, I mean, unconventional in relation to anything that is a norm can relate to many things. And I do think that in our society these days, especially in Western culture, conventions have changed. And I think that what used to be conventional for the masses is starting to be redefined. So I think that's why for sort of figuring out what unconventional is a little bit more difficult. So I think where, you know, the conventional idea of life comes from for me is that sort of American dream. So, you know, you finish school, maybe go to college. You know, back in the day, if you were a female, you would finish school and then start cranking out babies. And by school, I mean like K through 12, not higher education. So you finish school, maybe go to college, you get married, buy the house with the white picket fence, and get, you know, his and her cars, have the babies, the 2.5 kids. The 0.5 always confused me. I guess that's like an average. I don't think that means you actually have half of a child. I think if I was going to have half of a child, I would prefer the bottom half. I don't know. That's a hard question, because the top half has the head, which means all the crying and the screaming, but the bottom half has the poop. I don't think that's a very good half and half equation. Maybe like I'll take the left half of a child. Who am I kidding? I don't want kids anyway. So anyways, along with this, you know, American dream came the conventional expectations of women. With that convention is the stay-at-home mom, which I went over a little bit in my last podcast when I talked about kids. And I think there's a lot of pressure on women to prioritize family, especially when you get of a certain age. And a lot of women are breaking those conventions. And I think those conventions are some of the major ones that are changing, where I feel like our generation now has the choice whether to have a family or not. There's also this convention when it comes to being a woman of being a lady. I'm using those annoying air quotes again. So here's an interesting little spin on this whole topic of being a lady. I looked up the dictionary definition of a lady as well, just out of curiosity. And number one, it says a woman, so used as a polite or old-fashioned form of reference. So, you know, that's like this lady over here, you know, referencing somebody that's a woman. Then there's also second definition is a woman of superior social position, especially one of noble birth. So, you know, lords and ladies. Then this one, which I thought was interesting, it actually had a little note on it, like a disclaimer at the top that said dated, which means it's like an out of date definition. But a lady means a man's wife. And the example they gave was welcoming the vice president and his lady. So then we still have the first lady. So for as dated as this is, it is not all that dated, because the president of our country's wife is still referred to just as a lady. She doesn't really have a title beyond, oh, she's a woman, she's a female, which I think will be really interesting when we do have our first female president, because it'll be the president and the first dude, guy, fella, husband. I like, what title is he going to get? And you know what? I would bet anything that he's going to get a proper title when the first lady never has, because conventions are going to change to accommodate a man's comfort. You know, I also just want to stop for a second. I'm kind of going along with my train of thought, but in this podcast, I wanted to ask you guys your opinion. I was talking with my sister before I started recording this today, and she was like, I wish they were longer because I listen to podcasts that are like 2 hours long and it just seems really short. And she's like, not that I want it to be 2 hours long. That'd be way too long, but maybe like an hour. And I was like, I don't know. An hour seems like a long time for one human just to sit and talk at you guys alone in her bed on a microphone. You didn't know I was in my bed, but now you do. Movie magic here today, folks. But I'm just curious what you guys think, if you would like my podcast to be longer. I think my first episode was like 35 minutes and my second was maybe 32. And I do kind of feel that pressure of like, I have to talk really fast so I can get everything in there because I don't want it to be too long. But then I feel like maybe I could slow down a little bit and like process what I'm thinking. So I did a poll on Instagram. I really just put it up, so I haven't gotten the results yet, but I think you guys are aiming towards the shorter ones. I think I'm going to try to make this one maybe a little bit longer. I just realized I cannot see how long this is because my lovely boyfriend is doing this with a new program that doesn't show me the time. Well, that's real annoying. All right, then. I guess I'll just have to pay attention to the clock now to see how long I'm going. All right, back to this idea of what is unconventional and what are conventions anyways. So I think, you know, I've already gone over the topic of what I can define as sort of unconventional and how I'm defining it in this podcast. But I think along that, I just want to sort of give you a little list of things that I consider conventional paths. So monogamy is conventional, settling down at a certain age. So, you know, when you reach a certain age, it's time to get married, have kids, be an adult, whatever the hell that even means, because I'm 38 and I still feel like I'm a teenager sometimes. Along with that is getting married, having kids, and that goes for men and women. I think there's more pressure on women, but men still have that pressure too. The big thing I think with my following is we get the dress your age, or, you know, you're of a certain age now, you're expected to dress more maturely, which I don't even know what that means either. I'm going to be that crazy lady with like purple hair and a hat that's 5 feet tall and leopard print everything. I mean, obviously it's already on my skin, but I don't think that there ever needs to be a right way to dress for your age. It's like dressing for your body type, which I also think is bullshit. I think we'll go over that in future episodes, obviously. Buying a house, working a straight job with benefits too. I think it's, again, something that is becoming less conventional, but still, especially if you live in middle America, it's like you need the 9-to-5 with the good benefits, with the 401k, with all that stability. And I think especially with COVID right now, that is really changing when we're just trying to figure out, you know, how to work from home and what that looks like. So in this discovery of what is unconventional, I asked you guys for your stories about living your own unconventional lives. So let's take it to the stories. First, sorry if I mispronounce names. Anything that comes from Facebook is just a name and not like a at whatever account. And sometimes your guys' names blow my freaking mind. So bear with me, I'm doing my best. I always give you guys credit in my contributors part of this podcast. So if anybody is confused about names, you can always look in there on Apple Podcasts. So first story is from Cyrielle Sizes. Her last name is C-Z-Y-Z. That is amazing. Anyways, her story is, what is unconventional anyway is living your life as you want, following your heart and feeding your soul with things people usually do not. Unconventional? I never thought of it that way. For me, it is just natural. Most of the things I'm doing are part of me. It's like breathing in some way. It is also a matter of being true to yourself, I think. So I just want to bring this up. Obviously, I've already been talking about what is and isn't unconventional, but I just kind of want to bring up the point and acknowledge the privilege of being able to live how you want. Yes, for a lot of us, living how you want, being true to yourself isn't just as natural as breathing. But for some of us, being able to live that way is not a convenience we are allowed. Whether it be you live in a Middle Eastern country and you're a woman and you don't have the same rights as, you know, women in Western countries, or if you, you know, socioeconomically don't have the ability to maybe look how you want to look because you have to work a job that pays your bills and keeps food on the table for your family. So I just wanted to acknowledge that even if you feel unconventional on the inside, it might not always be reflected on the outside, and that is also okay too. Kendall Renee Haycook says, last October, I became a runaway bride. I was all set for that life with babies on the horizon, but now I don't know if I ever want to get married. Maybe have someone by my side who understands me, cares about my needs, and doesn't legally have to be there. He wasn't the one to have that life with. So here's where I'm agreeing with you. I've been married twice. Let me tell you, it's not all it's cracked up to be. There are pluses and negatives on both sides of it. But if you don't feel like you need to be married, then don't do it. It doesn't validate your relationship to have a marriage license. I think that will be a good future podcast topic. Elaine Briseño says, I'm 48, never married, did all of my life's milestones alone, including having a child, buying a house, traveling, been a working journalist for 20 years, made for an interesting life. Good for you, Elaine. I absolutely love that. You don't need a man or a partner or a woman or whatever it is in your life to define you and your success and who you are. You can still do all of those conventional things, but in an unconventional way. Tiffany Marie Bricky says, I honestly am scared to let my husband be the stay-at-home parent. I don't want him to be judged as weak because of me wanting to get a job. We both would work, but we have two girls and don't trust anyone to take care of them because of my toddlerhood trauma. Toddlerhood trauma. I do believe it should be more acceptable for the mom to work and the dad to stay home if need be without being judged harshly. It should be okay to take a break. Abso-freaking-lutely. And I already have this topic for a future podcast as well. The reversal roles of who's going to be the stay-at-home parent. And I think you are absolutely right that it should be okay to switch those roles. Last one is Blanca Monique Sevilla. I have a BA and an MA in psychology. I work as a therapist full-time. My hobby and one of my greatest passions is pole dancing. I don't know if that's unconventional, but it surprises people. So here's the thing too, is obviously if you look at me and look at my life and you listen to my first podcast, I live a very unconventional life from top to bottom. I think the only thing that is conventional in my life is that I am cisgendered and I am monogamous. Beyond that, I'm kind of all over the place. But you don't have to live a 100% unconventional life to feel like you maybe are an unconventional person or even to relate to the topics in this podcast. So I think it's important to acknowledge people that have small unconventions are still valid as being unconventional. And I think that's what is going to be important to break conventions. Okay, friends, this topic actually was voted on by my patrons on Patreon. If you have not joined Patreon yet or joined my Patreon group yet, I would love to have you. I offer all kinds of benefits. I basically just use that Patreon to fund this podcast. If you want to join, I have all different tiers. You can get all different kinds of things like Polaroid pictures and handwritten letters and I don't know. There's all kinds of random stuff in there. But one of the perks of being a patron of my Patreon is you can vote on my podcast topics. And so my lovely patrons have voted this week and they have voted my second topic will be about health problems, living with chronic health problems and how that creates an unconventional life. So this obviously is something that is close to my heart, no pun intended. If you guys follow me or you know anything about me, you know that I have a heart condition. I've actually had 3 heart surgeries. I was diagnosed when I was 24. I thought I was having panic attacks. And my regular GP was like, this is not anxiety. This is something else. Sent me to a cardiologist who sent me to an electrophysiologist. Turns out I basically was born with more electrical pathways in my heart than you should have. And it creates rhythm problems. So I have irregular heartbeats. I have arrhythmias. I used to have tachycardia, which my second surgery fixed. My last surgery I had was in 2017 and it was unsuccessful. I've tried lots of different medications. And so it's something that I've been living with for 14 years now. So I thought I would talk about it. In talking about health problems, I think the beginning of it is when you know you're sick, but you can't get a diagnosis. Either you don't have access to healthcare or the doctors can't figure out what is wrong with you. There's a lot of reasons why you can't get a diagnosis, but there is a lot of anxiety and stress that comes along with that. So my advice is always get a second, a third, a fourth opinion. Obviously, it's easier said than done if you have health insurance, but even if you don't, if you feel like something is seriously wrong with you, prioritize your health. And I always say, trust your gut. I think the hypochondriacs and the Munchausen folks of the world are more of a minority. If you don't know what Munchausen is, it's people that make up illnesses for attention. It's actually a psychological disorder. It's not something people do, you know, just because They think it's super fun. And Munchausen by proxy is when you make usually your children or people close to you sick for the same reason. But like I said, that is usually the exception and not the rule when it comes to health problems. So trust your gut. If you don't feel good, if you don't feel right, keep pushing until you find answers. And I was really lucky. You know, I thought I was having panic attacks because I was so young and I didn't know what it was. But I had a good doctor that was like, nope, this isn't panic attacks. And she sent me straight to a cardiologist. But if she hadn't have, I would have maybe gone to another doctor to be like, please help me. Get a second opinion. Trust your gut. I think the most relieving thing when you are going through a health struggle journey is getting that diagnosis. When I finally got my results back from all of my heart tests with my first electrophysiologist, and he gave me an answer and said, this is what I think it is. We're going to do the surgery. And once we do the surgery, we're going to find out for sure. But here's your path. And it was really scary, but it was also like, I felt validated. Like all these things I'm feeling in my body are real. So I think it's really important to get that diagnosis just for the mental health aspect of having health problems. I'm going to talk about mental health in a little bit, but I think that there are definite mental health struggles that go with having health problems, especially when you have chronic health problems. So taking care of your mental health is just as important as taking care of your physical health, which can also overlap with each other. So then, you know, once you get a diagnosis, you have to figure out what is right for you. If you want to do meds versus surgery, that was my doctor basically told me, you know, you're 24 and we can try meds, but you'll be on them for your entire life and you're going to have to figure out which one works. And I said, I don't want to do that. And he said, cool, let's do surgery. He gave me the choice. I was young. I was healthy. It was a really easy surgery. And it just seemed like a better option for me than medication. I'm not a medication person. I avoid taking it if at all possible. I take vitamins and, you know, like my allergy medication because I need it. Otherwise, I would be talking like this all day long. So it is for the best for all of us. That being said, I don't really like to take medication. Even if I have a headache, I'll take one ibuprofen just to start, just to see. I'm a less is more when it comes to medication. I can't tell you how many like bottles of muscle relaxers and stuff that people usually love taking, Valium. Please, if you know where I live, don't come raid me for my drugs. I really don't have that many, I promise. And Jimmy's the same way. He, you know, I'm allergic to opiates, so I can't take Vicodin and codeine and all that stuff that people seem to think is really fun. It just makes me throw up. But he can, and he doesn't like it. So we just have an excess of medication. So I was never a want to take meds kind of person. So surgery was the right option for me. The other decision you have to make is if you want to go holistic medicine versus traditional, or if you want to do a mix of it. I'm going to go deeper into the holistic versus traditional medicine in a future podcast. I feel like I'm foreshadowing a lot of mysterious future podcasts, but a lot of these topics are way bigger than one podcast. That being said, I think, in my personal opinion, a mix of holistic and traditional medicine is generally the best plan of attack. In my opinion, it was for me. The last surgery I had, when it didn't work, my heart doctor basically said, you know, try some holistic things. He said, some of my patients, it's like a banana a day, and that amount of potassium helps the rhythm problems, or take magnesium and calcium supplements. Or, you know, he wanted me to figure out what was right for me in a more healthy way versus taking pharmaceuticals every day. And I really appreciated him for that, because a lot of traditional doctors don't tout or see the benefits of holistic care. So, like I said, you just have to find which way is right for you. So I am going to touch on mental health just a little bit. And again, this is going to be a future podcast topic, because I myself struggle with pretty severe depression. But just so you know, mental health problems and issues are chronic health problems. I do define them the same as cancers and heart problems and COPD and all of those things. I think that mental health problems are just as valid as traditional physical health problems. There's actually a question coming up that I'm going to go into this one more. Ooh, whispering's kind of fun. It's like my little ASMR part of this podcast. By the way, speaking of like mental health, ASMR is awesome. And if you haven't tried listening to any sort of ASMR anything, and you have anxiety, let me tell you, it helps to relax you. People always laugh at me, but it's true. So it's really sad if you are an American, you have to prioritize your healthcare versus your insurance. And that's the thing for me is that knowing that I have a heart condition, I have always prioritized having insurance. I prioritize it over eating, over paying my utilities, over rent. Because if I'm not healthy and alive, none of those things are going to matter. I know that not everybody, like I said, has the privilege of having access to healthcare. But if you do in any way, shape, or form, and you know that you have a chronic health problem or that you're going to need a bunch of expensive tests, please prioritize your healthcare. I have to tell you, I live with the most frustrating and wonderful human man, Mr. James Johnson. When we first got together, he had not seen a doctor in like 10 years, and he's almost 40. He had not seen a dentist. And his thinking was, well, if I have cancer, I just don't want to know. If you could see the brain exploding out of my skull when he told me that, because if you do have cancer and you don't have any symptoms of it yet, odds are it's a low stage cancer. So you might need like a lumpectomy, maybe a little bit of chemo or radiation, and you'd probably be okay. But if you wait until that cancer is so bad that you have like horrible physical symptoms, it's probably not going to be so good. It's the same thing people that say, oh, I don't go to the dentist. The dentist scares me. Just get your freaking cleanings. If you get a cleaning twice a year, yeah, they're not like fun. I don't enjoy the dentist. It's not as fun as eating a whole bar of chocolate or skipping through a sprinkler. But if you don't ever go to the dentist, then you're going to end up having root canals. And what's worse, a cleaning or a root canal? And what's more expensive? Let's use our brain. But it's such a man thing. I don't know why males like hate going to the doctors and they don't do it until they're super sick. But I'm hoping that we are going to break that way of thinking and break those conventions. I know women that do it too, but I just have to say like every boyfriend I've ever had has had that same way of thinking. So if you're out there and you think I'm not going to go see a doctor or a dentist because I'm scared, pull your head out of your rear end and just go see a doctor. But you do need to prioritize your healthcare if you do have any sort of chronic illness. It is a must. I think the last thing really involving this topic is keeping a positive outlook when you want to cry or scream or just rip your hair out or just stay in bed all day and give up and do nothing. I think a positive attitude goes a really long way in staying healthy. They say, you know, the benefits of positive thinking, it releases cortisol. It's the same thing like getting massages or human touch or feeling love. It releases these cortisols that actually have like a lot of really strong health benefits. So I think positive thinking does go a long way in keeping yourself healthy when you're dealing with chronic health issues. That being said, you're allowed to feel all of those things. You're allowed to feel like life isn't fair. You're allowed to feel like, why me? You're allowed to feel sorry for yourself. You're allowed to be mad. You're allowed to have days where you just want to bite everybody's head off. It's okay. You are a human and that is normal. And I have those days and I will snap. Oh my God, I will snap at Jimmy. And I feel bad after I do it. And I always apologize. And he always understands because he knows I'm a human. And those are just human moments. And it's not just the fear of being sick and what's next, but actually being in pain all the time makes your tolerance for bullshit almost nothing. Like when I'm in pain and somebody comes at me sideways, I will rip their head off. And it could just be like, excuse me, ma'am. And I'm like, you're in my way. Like, like I have no tolerance for human beings when I'm in pain. So just know that that is normal. And that's why pain management is such a big part of chronic illness. One little side note I do have to add here, please be nice to your healthcare professionals and especially the people that work on the insurance side, the front desk, you know, the receptionists, because it is not their fault that you feel like shit or that you are going through a lot of things. They are trying to help you. Don't be mean to them. It's one thing if you have a doctor that's being shitty or doing something bad and you're like giving it to him, please do advocate for yourself. But just know that like all the middle people are trying their best. And along with advocating for yourself is please do advocate for yourself. Don't be a doormat. Be nice to people, but also make sure that you are getting what you need and what you deserve. And if you don't feel like your healthcare professionals are giving you what you need, find another one. There is no shortage of doctors in this world that can help you and help you in a way that you feel comfortable with. I think that's one thing for me is finding doctors that I mesh with, if that makes sense. I mean, obviously I want a good doctor that's like good at his job or her job, but I also want a doctor that I feel like a human connection with. My first heart doctor was the absolute best. After my first heart surgery, he actually called me personally at home just check on me, make sure I was okay. He always would like warmly grab my hand and look me in the eye when I came in the office, and I felt like he really cared about me. So it's really important that you feel that connection with your healthcare providers. Bedside manner is just as important as education and knowledge when it comes to healthcare. And that goes doubly for nurses because you're going to be dealing with nurses way more than doctors, especially if you are going to be a surgical patient. And if you have a healthcare provider, especially techs and nurses that are shitty and mean or bad at their jobs, if they're botching your IVs or your blood draws, please complain, because not only are you getting this treatment, but everybody else in those offices are getting the treatment and they need to learn. Let's take some questions. If you want to contribute to my podcast via questions or stories, please follow me on Instagram and on Facebook. I am at The Cherry Dollface on both. I usually do polls in my Instagram stories, but I also take stories on my Facebook posts as well. So I do both. Please follow me. First question is from Amy Long 85, which is actually one of my patrons. She asks, have you ever struggled with your weight? And I think as women especially, but you know, men too, but women especially because of those conventions, that is such a big worry and stressor when we have chronic health problems is gaining weight, because some diseases and illnesses alone will cause weight gain, like PCOS, thyroid issues, that kind of thing. You will gain weight just because you have that illness. But the side effects from a lot of drugs will also make you gain weight. So here's my personal experience with weight. I've actually been underweight for most of my life. And my first heart doctor actually told me that I needed to be 10 pounds above what I was, where my natural weight was. He actually said that being underweight makes you feel your body more acutely. You feel pain more acutely. You feel heart arrhythmias more acutely. You feel cold more acutely. Your nerves are more acutely aware of things when you are underweight. So that was always a really hard struggle for me, because I have a really fast metabolism, and I always have until, you know, I hit my 30s, but that was always a struggle because I knew that that was a lot of what I was feeling was just related to my weight. That being said, in the last, well, I'd say maybe 32, 33, my metabolism naturally started slowing down, and I realized I had to, you know, take better care of myself if I wanted to maintain the weight that was right for my heart. The fall of last year, I went on a blood pressure medication. I have very, very low blood pressure naturally, and it was causing me to get head rushes, and I was afraid of losing consciousness. And my doctor also said that it could have been the reason that my heart was acting up again. So he put me on this blood pressure medication actually to raise my blood pressure, which, you know, obviously people usually take it for the other reason. And it actually worked really well, but I gained, oh gosh, I've gained almost 20 pounds, which for most women is like, whatever, that's not a big deal. For me, I've been almost the same weight since I was like 14. I don't really gain. I don't lose, but I don't really gain. And so I'm very aware of the weight that is now on my body. Almost none of my clothes fit me, which I think is the most frustrating part, because I feel like whatever my body is, my body. I've always had lumps and bumps, even when I was really skinny. So that is not changed. The only thing is like, I don't have any pants that fit me. So if I need an occasion where I need to wear pants, I don't have anything that fits me. And all the malls are still closed in California. So for me, that's more the frustration, is the clothes thing, especially because I have a really amazing vintage clothing collection, and not being able to wear those glorious frocks is real stupid. So I actually weaned off of that blood pressure medication starting last month. And when that started, the weaning started, I started getting migraines and I started getting dizzy spells. So now I get to go to a neurologist and I have an MRI next week, and I have to go in the big tube, and I'm insanely claustrophobic. Like, I can't even sit in the backseat of a car sometimes. I'm so claustrophobic. So that's going to be really fun. Actually, you guys will be listening to this after my MRI has happened, so hopefully everything was okay. Totally sidetracked myself with that. But I just weaned off of my medication that made me gain weight. So hopefully I can get back into my pants. I don't know. But just so you guys know, if you are on medications or if you have a health condition that makes you gain weight, it's normal. Even sometimes birth controls will make people gain weight. So I don't know. Don't worry so much about the weight gain. Figure out how to feel good. And the weight is whatever. My friend Aline asks, is there any exercise you found that you genuinely enjoy? So I guess this kind of goes with the weight. I now exercise a little bit because of the weight gain, but I've always really exercised because of my heart and I want to keep my heart strong. And I'm just a health conscious person. So I've always I feel good when I exercise. And exercising is also really good for my mental health. It really helps with my depression. So I get a 1-2 punch out of exercising. That being said, obviously when you have a heart condition, you can't just exercise all willy-nilly because my heart goes crazy. So what I have found is any exercise where I go from low to high really fast, like burpees or squats that are too fast or mountain climbers sometimes, those kind of things, I can't do. They just make me feel weird and disoriented and dizzy. But I've just kind of trialed and errored what I can and can't do. If I'm exercising too hard, I also can't climb. So stair climbers, doing stairs, hikes where there's big tall hills also make my heart sort of flip into crazy mode. So I've just kind of found what is right for me, and there's always workarounds. I hired a trainer a few years ago and I told her of my unique problem. And so she came up with exercises I could do that didn't involve any of those things. I just like to exercise though. Not everybody does. I get the good endorphin high from it. And when I have depression, it helps. So you just got to find what you like. Don't think that exercising is just going to the gym. I also go for walks every night and listen to podcasts. Hey, that's a good idea for you guys listening to mine. But it's a good way for me to be able to listen to a podcast because I can't listen to a podcast at home because I get sidetracked. So if I just go on walks, it helps. Go on a walk, go on a jog, find a sport you like, go play beach volleyball. Just stay active. That's the main thing. And it doesn't have to be high impact either. If you have joint problems or heart problems or lung problems and you can't do high impact things, just do low impact stuff. Just get your body moving. All right, Miss Ruth Pinup wants to know, how do you deal with family members who don't accept invisible diseases like depression? I don't think that you really ever can deal with family members that don't accept your disease, especially if it's mental health. I think there's just some people that just don't understand the concept of mental health. And I think that goes culturally and generationally. Some cultures don't really accept mental health as a valid illness. And the older generations, it wasn't acceptable to be depressed or anxious or whatever. It just wasn't. That being said, people change their mind. And the best thing you can do is just help educate those people. So send them articles, tear out a page in a magazine at your doctor's office if you see something that relates. And if they want to understand you and they love you, they will educate themselves. And if they don't, then they won't. And you just focus on the people in your life that do understand and lean on those people when you need them. Greta L. says, how do you deal with the fear of it impacting your work life? I have anxiety and depression. Of course, I'm not always able to perform at my usual level, and I'm terrified that at some point I might lose a job because I can't focus enough or have to call in sick too often. First thing is know your rights under the ADA. The ADA is Americans with Disabilities Act. And if you are not American, obviously this does not apply to you. But I think that there's protections in most countries. And mental health does fall under those protections. So if you do have health problems or mental health problems or whatever, and you have to go to the doctor or be in the hospital or whatever, there are protections that will protect you from losing your job, like actual legal protections. I've never had to really deal with this, so it's not something I've done a lot of research on. But if you feel like that is a valid fear in your life, definitely research that, because there's, they can't fire you if you get pregnant, but same thing, they can't fire you if you find out you have cancer or you need to see a doctor or whatever. Definitely do your research in there. I've never really super been afraid of my health affecting my work life. I've been really lucky. One, I've worked for myself for the majority of the time that I have had my heart problems, but I've also been really lucky in that people really just understand when I tell them I'm sick and here's what it is. Doctor's notes help. Just being honest helps, I think. And finding workarounds too, especially now that COVID has happened. Most workplaces have no excuse to say you cannot work from home because everybody is working from home right now. So if that's an option, try to work that out as well. Last question is from Misha Tracy. How do you deal with long-term plans? Do you ever stress that in a few months, the holidays, etc., you won't know what you'll feel like and you can't really anticipate plans? I've been dealing with chronic GI issues for the past year and a half, and sometimes I really hate thinking about the future. Yes, I totally get that. For me, my heart kind of comes and goes in feeling crappy. Like for some months, I feel totally fine. And then for some months, I feel like absolute shit. And like you said, there's really no way to be able to tell that. Luckily, I do have medication that helps me deal with it. I have like as needed medication when I'm feeling my arrhythmias coming back. My suggestion in long-term plans is always get insurance. So if you're flying, if you're staying in a hotel and they offer traveler's insurance, take it. It might be a little bit extra money, like on a flight, it's going to be an extra like $20. But if you do have those health issues where it is a real valid concern that you might not be able to travel, you want to protect your money at least, especially flights, because most flights these days are not refundable. So protect yourself in that way. I think that will ease some of the anxiety involved. And just be honest with people. Like I've had to cancel tour stops because I didn't feel good. I've had to cancel classes. I've had to cancel shoots. And I've been really lucky. You know, most of the people, I mean, I would hope, I haven't gotten any hate mail. Most of the time girls are like, I totally understand, because honestly, what an asshole would you be if you didn't? But most of the time I've had to cancel or reschedule things because of my health problems. People really understand, like, your body needs what your body needs. And sometimes being on my feet for 9 hours and flying across the country and back is not what my body needs. And I have to listen to my body. And that's the thing, is there's only one of you. So you need to take care of you and make sure that you're okay. And people around you that actually care about you will understand, especially if it's for a vacation or holidays or whatever. So just do your best. Don't stress yourself out. Like I was saying before, mental health goes a long way for physical health. And the more anxious you are about your illness or your disease, the more that disease is going to take hold of you. So don't let yourself be defined by your disease. Okay, that's it. That's all my questions. Thank you guys for listening. I just want to do some patron shout outs again. Miss Amy Long, Molly Mayhem, Maggie, Sherilyn Contreras, Karen Kuzminski, Screaming Space, and Miss Gigi Sparkles. Thank you guys for being my patrons. You guys are awesome. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to everybody that's been leaving reviews. I really appreciate it. I got my first 4-star review and it made me kind of sad. I'm like, what did I do? Why can't I have that 5th star? But I get it. I'm not for everybody. That's totally cool. I just appreciate reviews anyways. If you review me or subscribe, I am on Spotify. I'm on Apple Podcasts. I am on Google Podcasts. I'm kind of everywhere now, which is great. So wherever you listen to me, please review or subscribe. I really appreciate it. And I have an addendum to my outro. I was reminded by somebody that my slogan used to be, don't be an asshole, because obviously don't be an asshole, but basically just be kind to each other. So from here on out, my outro is going to be, don't be an asshole. And until next time, here's me waving like a maniac. Take care. Stay healthy. See you guys next time.